Blog Talk Radio.
Now it seems
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you and welcome to the Initiative Radio Network, Palace Enlightenment. Tonight we are so honored and delighted to welcome our beloved brother, Southwest Regional Minister, our brother Abdul Halim Muhammad. I love this brother. I must say this to the whole world. He's every time he's come to my city, so humble, down to earth, beautiful spirit, loving, caring. I mean, I can go on and on. But with that, I must open in the name of Allah, who came in the person of Master Farag Muhammad. We thank him for the most honorable Muhammad, the exalted Christ, and also our beloved, beautiful Minister Farrakhan. And with that, thank you again. Welcome to the Initiative Radio Network. I'm going to bring our beloved brother in and give a little bit of his bio. It's very long and absolutely outstanding, but we're going to just name a few things that he does or have done. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Pamela. How are you, ma'am?
I'm doing excellent, brother. It is so nice, and we're honored to have you here at the Initiative Radio Network, Block Talk Radio. So thank you so much, dear brother.
Thank you for the invitation, sister. I'm so honored that you would have me over the people's sacred airwaves and that you would take time out of your busy schedule to invite me to come and to talk to you with all the work that you're doing.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm humbled, brother. It's my pleasure and really is my honor. So with that, we're going to just, like I said, say just a couple of things, outstanding things that you've done. You are the most important thing, I would say, a beautiful brother who is a follower of the Elijah Muhammad, a student minister of the original Southwest, and it's over the number 45 mosque. Have a radio talk show host at the Connect the Dots production. As I said, student minister of the Nation of Islam, Southwest Regional Student Minister at Mosque, number 45, study urban planning at Texas Southern University, study theories of urban planning at Texas Southern University, is a husband, also a father, and I believe have grandchildren. And so with that, I'm going to bring the brother in and just be going to talk with him. We're going to give him love like he's always has given us and our people and people in general. So with that, just bring our brother in. And for those that are online, just stand by and definitely come in and share the love and, you know, just welcome our brother. So with that, I'm going to open up again with our brother. I want to ask you, beloved brother, recently, I know that you, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan gave you a holy name, which I thought was absolutely beautiful. So I want to ask that first of all. How did you feel when our beloved Minister Farrakhan gave you your holy name, Abdul Halim?
Well, all praise is due to Allah. There's a little story behind that, Sister Pamela.
Yes,
and if you would indulge me just a few moments so I can give people background on it. In 2006, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan came to Houston, Texas. This was after Hurricane Katrina. It was the first year of the Essence Festival. And they didn't have the Essence Festival in New Orleans. They had to have it in Houston. So the minister was a speaker at one of the sessions, and so we were having dinner with him, myself, Student Minister Willie, Student Minister Jeffrey, Student Minister Lee, and I can't remember who else was there. But he told me, he asked me, what was I studying? I had just completed my master's degree in urban planning and environmental policy, and then he asked me, he said, well, what are you doing now? I said, I'm studying for my PhD. He said, well, brother, when you finish your PhD, he said, I got a name in mind for you. And he said to me, he said, brother, the best way that I want you, you will be Student Minister Dr. Robert Muhammad. He said, the minister goes before doctor because that's the more important title. And because minister means servant. So I'm a servant. I'm always going to be a student because I'm always going to be in search of knowledge. And so what I have a PhD in is to serve the people as I still continue to learn. So I don't heap upon myself that I know everything. I'm always in the process of learning. So fast forward, when I was with him in July of last year, I reminded him of what he said because I completed my PhD in May of 2016. So I reminded him in July. He told me write him and remind him, which I did. And so we, again, in 2017, were in Chicago, not this month, August, July, we were in Chicago, and Minister Farrakhan, I reminded him of what he said, and also another conversation he had with his ministers talking about student minister Hillary in the United Kingdom, and I reminded him what he said about his name first. That's how I came up. And so he gave him the name Abdul Hakim. So he told me, okay, brother, come back to the National Believers Meeting. If you remember the National Believers Meeting we had where the minister spoke, and then he brought out the Executive Council, he brought out the Consultative Assembly, brought out the E-Team and all of that. And he said at that night at the Salaam that he was going to give me my name over the webcast before the whole nation. Well, he didn't do that. So I waited around and I went back to the office. And I said, Brother Minister, Allah didn't inspire you to give me a name? And he looked at me and said, oh, brother, I've been thinking about that quite a while. He said, I'm going to give you my name. He says, you will be Halim, which means to be forbearing. It is the characteristic of Allah that he doesn't punish you when we transgress the law. He doesn't punish you right away. He said, you've been with me a long time, brother, and you've endured much. He says, so your name is Abdul Halim Muhammad. And that was his name when I met him in 1976 as a sophomore college student in Hampton University. I met him. I was his escort, his host, and part of the student government delegation that was with him for 2 days in April of 1976. And when I met him, his name was Abdul Halim Farrakhan. So he gave me his name. But whatever that means, I'm not putting on myself something special. He just gave me his name. Yes, and so I'm thankful to Allah, and I thought he gave it to me, you know, being enduring, forbearing, patient, tolerant, Sister Pamela. I thought he gave me the name because I was that. No, I think he gave me the name so that I would be that, given the trying times that we're under right now here in Houston and elsewhere.
Yes.
So that's the story. That's the story behind it.
Yes, sir. Thank you for sharing that, brother. That is beautiful, and I agree with you on that. So he, in a sense, he saw foresight what you was about to experience. But that's beautiful, and to be part of having the mental name, that is an honor. I thank and our praise definitely due to Allah. Thank you for sharing that again. Beautiful.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. I know recently, of course, we've all witnessed or saw, rather, the devastation of Harvey in Houston, Texas. And I want to and thank you so much, like I said again, for just being a beautiful example and a great example of helping our people, because I know that's not easy already, you know, it's striving to be there, and it's, especially during a time like this. So could you please give us an insight on exactly what is going on? How do you feel that the officials handled Hurricane Harvey in Houston when you all first, got the word that, you may be hit with a hurricane? How do you think, compared to Hurricane Katrina, I think, about 12 years ago? Was there any difference? Yes, sir. So could you kind of explain what took place?
Yeah, there's a great difference. There's similarities and there are differences. And
yes, sir.
Well, the similarity is that this was an act. This was an act of God, or act of nature, act of God, that was helped by man-made decisions. In other words, man made it worse. So Katrina, the levees, the way that they built New Orleans, all the things that they did, the way they evacuated the people, the way they didn't evacuate the people, that whole thing was a nightmare from top to bottom, from the federal government to the state government, even to the local government. And thousands of people died. Like, you know, you had 1,000+ people that died. Here, mm-hmm. we had about, last count, a little over 60 people to die. So, you know, one life loss is really too many, but that's a comparison where you had loss of life of over 1,200+ in New Orleans, and you had about 60+ here. So that's the difference. Mm-hmm. Two, it was a man-made disaster aided by nature. I guess that's the best way to put it, because we have been building out this area. This is one of the fastest growing areas in the country, and we've been building out this area, and we're just a region that lets developers do kind of what they want to. Now, there's two schools of thought that the way that we build here, sometimes we're building homes and subdivision and floodplains, that, you know, that's not the reason why we flooded. But I'll put it like this. Had they not built it in a floodplain, they wouldn't have got flooded. This was an event that could not be humanly, given recent history or given the history of storms, you couldn't have prepared for this. Mm-hmm. 15 trillion gallons of water, 51 inches of rain. There's nothing that we could have built or done that could have stopped what was coming. All right? So there are mistakes that were made. Some say we should have evacuated. Others say we shouldn't. But the truth of the matter is that the storm actually hit Corpus Christi and Rockport, Texas. They got wiped out. That was the eye of the storm. We were on the dirty part of the storm, where it was picking up water from the Gulf of Mexico and just dropping it on us for about 4 or 5 days. I mean, it was crazy. Wow. And there's over 30,000 people that had to seek shelter. There's over 100,000 homes that have been inundated with water and flooding. There was 136,000 structures in Harris County, which represents 10% of the Harris County Appraisal District structures that were affected. We had major freeways closed. We had businesses to close. And we had what really concerns me is the long-term effect, because in this area, we have over 2,500 chemical facilities. And you got to understand that one-fourth of your fuel, your gasoline, is refined in the Gulf Coast. I think some 60% of aviation fuel and 80% of military aviation fuel is processed here. So if that storm would have had a direct hit on our refining area, especially in the Houston port area, man, mm-hmm. gas would have been not $3 a gallon or $4 a gallon. It might have been up to $8 a gallon. So there are similarities. The Red Cross is still robbing people. You know, they may sue me, but I hope they would, so I can depose them in court. The Red Cross is still double-crossing people. You know, all of the disaster industrial complex is now coming into Houston and coming into Texas. And also now they're heading into Florida. There's literally going to be $160 billion poured into this area, and maybe $200 billion poured into the state of Florida. And there's going to be people making money. There's going to be people doing reconstruction. doing infrastructure work, doing construction work, providing housing, providing services. The question is, how will the poor fare? How will the middle class fare? How will the people who are not politically connected fare when this money comes in? That is the question.
Absolutely right, and that is the question. We lead me into my next question. How can we better prepare as a people? I've seen so many times over and over, we have natural disaster. We are begging the government or the FEMA for money, et cetera, and we always, of course, be at the bottom of the totem pole. What would make us as a people finally come together and put our resources, and as you have said in your reflections or videos, that we are poor, divided, but together we are very rich. We just don't know how to use our money or to use it and put it together in a way that will benefit us as a whole.
Well, again, that comes from, as you picked up my saying, and it's not that we're poor, we're poorly organized. Our money is not organized and our votes are not organized. We're always at the whim or operating on somebody else's agenda and not our own. So the first thing we have to decide is what's in our own personal permanent best interest. I'm not talking political party, Democrat, Republican. I'm not talking about not all of our good friends. You know, some of us feel like if certain people don't go to heaven, the white folk don't go to heaven with us, then I don't want to go to that kind of heaven. You know, we're always thinking about other people before we think about ourselves. And that's not the way God made human nature. You know, they say charity begins at home and then spreads abroad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, help self first, then others. Okay? And there's another saying that, you know, when you're flying on the airplane, Sister Pamela, you know, the flight attendant, when they're doing a demonstration, a safety demonstration, will tell you that in case of loss of oxygen, oxygen mask going to fall out of the top from over your head. They say, take it out, stretch the cord, put it around your neck, tighten the cords, and then breathe slowly, you know, and oxygen will flow. They said, but put the mask on yourself first before attempting to help others. Okay?
Right.
we have to get that one. So
yes,
I can tell everyone, you know, yeah, prepare your individual, you know, survival kit, water, food, et cetera, and so forth. But the question is, what are we going to do as a community there in Monroe and throughout Shreveport and all of these other places in that part of Louisiana that we really, and Arkansas and Texas, that corridor up there, what are we going to do to prepare our community to look out for one another? Because what we found out here in Houston is that there were literally over 75,000 calls to the 911 system during the first day or so. Man, we don't have that many police and fire department.
Yeah.
So all these people that were calling, who helped them? You'll find that it was civilians helping civilians. So it really boils down to us, neighbor helping neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to now put together a plan to take care of those of us who are elderly, our youth, those who are disabled, you understand? Those who are poor, the single parent mothers. We got to look out after the weakest among us in order for us to be able for our community to remain strong and for us to bounce back from these kind of calamities that are going to increase. They're not going to decrease. This is not a once in a lifetime kind of event. I hope we understand. In Texas, in Houston, dear sister, we went through a Memorial Day flood, and then turned around, it was a Tax Day flood, and now we got hit with Harvey. And then after Harvey, Hurricane Irma hits and tears Florida up and went all the way up into Georgia. Georgia, this part of Georgia that declared emergency, received emergency declarations from the federal government and from the state government. So and now you got Jose out there in the Atlantic, and people are saying, man, one of the tracks is, it looked like it's heading towards New York. New York with a hurricane. Imagine that. So
exactly.
I'm just saying to everybody, look, you know, you don't have to believe in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and you don't have to believe what we believe, but you better believe that we believe it. And if we appear mm-hmm. to be rational, reasonable, and responsible, sane, sober, and serious, and we believe that, in fact, these calamities are going to increase because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote it, he said it, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has repeated it and reminded us, and then we see these things happening, you need to ask yourself the question, maybe I need to pay attention to what these folks are saying and get me and my family and my community together. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. You're absolutely right. And as you said, they don't have to believe what we believe, but when it's strong, Tommy, you just believe strong because you need, you know, a plan, a room, you know. So, you know, open up your eyes and open up your ears and pay attention. I would say that respectfully to all those that are listening. We do have mm-hmm. calls on the line for those that would like to ask our brother a question. I'd like to make a comment. Please push 1 at this time. If not, then we will. I will have the minister explaining a bit about these, you know, hurricanes, natural disasters. As our beloved minister just said, that it's not a once in a lifetime thing. That these things are coming more and more often, and we have to prepare for that and not to put our head in the sand and pretend that they're not existing. So with that, we're gonna until we get someone that wants to speak, we're going to play a bit of the minister. It's a short clip.
So, Mr. Trump, I would advise him from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He said, well, if the party that's in power gets back in power, you know what that means. That was the Democrats. And if the other party get in, you should know what that means. The messenger left it up to you to figure out what it means. But, he said, the more you can delay this war, the better it will be for you. So Kim Jong-un may get a nuclear head to put on his ballistic missile, but the God won't let it come here. You are God's people. He said this, listen. He said this area is preserved for him. He gonna take your enemy out in his way. He's not going to let the Chinese get in on his destructive plan. He said America is number one on his list to be destroyed. I didn't say it. God said it. So says the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Well, how are you going to do it, God? He said, well, he don't have no defense against the force of nature. Allah is going to use the wind, the rain, the tornadoes, the hurricane, the fire, hail, sleet, snow. He's whooping America back. And listen, watch it now. This is a message to Mr. Trump. I need to say it to him more personal. I ain't going to no White House or nothing. Not that they want me there. But I can get him a message. The God is after America for her evils done to his people. You have a chance to relieve yourself of some of the heaviness of the judgment that's against you by letting my people go. Wait. This is the messenger's teaching. And most of you don't want to leave white folks. You've got your little stake in the white man's world. I understand. I really do. But be ready. Because he's turning on you. At another time, I will give you more on that. But he's turning. And his hatred is being focused on us. You think that there was some problem in Charlottesville? That was lightweight. Go read your scripture. It said, because they delighted in killing us, God said, I'm going to give you your own blood to drink. And you will be drunk with your own blood as with sweet wine. There's going to be a lot of bloodshed, brother and sister. And that's bringing me to the end of my stuff.
Okay, thank you. That was our beloved minister explaining what is unfolding as we live each day about the disasters, about, you know, the so-called Korea situation, South Korea, et cetera. So, you know, I mean, like you said, get ready. So, you know, definitely we have to be more prepared to what is going on. So that we can, you know, keep it real, survive, and stand to help our people. So we have to take heed. So with that, brother Abdul, as we heard the minister just explain to us what was going on and about with the hurricanes and all that type of situation. So I would ask you, how can we? As I said before, I know that the people was going through, you know, difficulties. First of all, let me say this. Could you also give out the information on how we can continuously to help our people? And I know they're in need of everything from, you know, personal hygiene, et cetera. So could you please give the website or so where they can send things, people can send things to help
yes.
Our people?
Yes, ma'am. They can assist us two ways. They can send donations if they like. NOIHouston.org, NOIHouston.org, and they can go on and make on the donation page and make a donation for Harvey relief. But if they would like to send diapers, if they like to send personal care items, if they would like to sell cleaning products or anything of that nature, ship it to us or have somebody deliver it to us from a local store or something accordingly, they can send it to Muhammad Mosque number 45, 4443 Old Spanish Trail, Houston, Texas, 77021. That's Muhammad Mosque number 45, 4443 Old Spanish Trail, Houston, Texas, 77021. And they can help that way, beloved.
Thank you so much, brother, for helping, like I said before, and letting other people know. And and help, you know, we all should help. I've donated, I'll praise be to God, and I plan to donate again. Because, like, we give, there's going to time, going to come a time when we need help, like, you know, that's so when we give and give freely, and then when we need it, God will bless those who help us. So please, whatever you can give, give. And also, I would say this respectfully, give clean, not clean, but new things as far as give new things. Don't give anything that you wouldn't want anyone to give you. Let's not do that. Let's treat each other like we want to be treated and make those things as new, you know, like I say, give what you can, but give properly. Don't give underwear if you've been worn or something like that. Please don't do that.
It's true, sisters. People have people. No, you're not. They might think you're being funny, But you're not. That's the truth. People have done that. They send us used underwear, man. We had to throw it in the trash. That was terrible. You tell them the truth.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no, Henry. Yes, sir. Oh, for those that are online, you may push button this time. And excuse me. I'm sorry, but that was funny, but it's not funny. And push one, please, and give our brothers a love if you'd like to make a comment. And seven. Brother, how long do you have? I don't want to keep you too long.
Well, you told me you wanted me from 7 to 8, so I blocked out that time for you, Queen. So I'll be with you from 7 to 8. Mm-hmm.
Okay then. Thank you so much. So we're gonna continue the course until we those phone lines start popping. We have some people online, but right now they may just want to listen, and that is absolutely fine. I have a couple more, a lot more questions, but I'm not going to just say I don't like questions. But I want to know, I've heard also that some people were offered jobs to come to Houston to help our people. But some rumors saying that they're not getting paid. Do you know anything about that, brother, or are you aware of that?
No, ma'am, I don't know. I don't know about that, but I do know in the Reconstruction, I do know in terms of FEMA, I do know in terms of them needing adjusters.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually sending in adjusters from all across the country. And so if you have interest in becoming an insurance adjuster, you should contact your local insurance friends, and they can tell you, you know, how to become an adjuster. You might be one of those that are sent to Houston or to other places so that these persons, you can make a lot of money. There's going to be a lot of disasters, and you'll be going around the country for months at a time, assessing many of these destroyed properties and assessing damages for the insurance companies.
Yes, sir. Okay, thank you for that, brother. And my next question is, like I said, one thing, of course, every assistant is appreciated financially. Of course, people have to have finance and, of course, hygiene and place to lay their heads and things of that nature. But I wanted to know, how can they be helped with their mental or emotional state at this time? Because, you know, losing everything, you know, like that is definitely, will leave mentally scarred, to say the least. How are people coping with that?
Well, there's two ways, sister. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has shown us a technology that we got from the Church of Scientology called Dianetics.
Yeah.
That is one way. And I'll tell anybody in the world, I'll defend it to the day I die. It absolutely saved my life. I mean, you're talking to a person who witnessed two men being executed by the state of Texas, one of which when I was on the 30th day of a 40-day fast. So you know that absolutely affected me psychologically and spiritually. And so the blessing of that is that through Dianetics, I was able to address that and other issues that have been hurting me emotionally and mentally for quite a long time. Also, there is a coalition of black psychologists and black social workers in this area who have come together and offer their services to our people to help them in their transition from having everything, then losing everything, and then back to acquiring everything once again. So there is help for people here, beloved. And what they have to do is not be too proud to reach out and to ask, because actually the emotional effect of these losses is going to cause people to start doing things that are absolutely out of character. We'll put it like that. Well, we're already seeing it. It's like post-traumatic stress syndrome. It's like being in combat. You know, you see water rising and rising and rising. Then you evacuate on a boat or chest-high water. You stay in a shelter. Then you come back to where you used to live, and everything you got to put out on the curb. That's going to affect you mentally and spiritually. So it's not just about, oh, go and pray. You need to pray. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray with you. Now, some of us need some professional counseling, and we need to make sure that we are whole, not just physically, not just financially, but mentally also.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely right. And I agree with the Dianetics, because I've taken a couple of those, and they have helped me. And so, therefore, and definitely, like I said, the medicine is not going to lead us to anything that would hurt us anyway. So, therefore, I think that people should take advantage of that in of the Nation of Islam, as well as out of the Nation of Islam, because there are things that come out, that comes in life that we all have to, deal with and have to have some type of balance, to deal with different things that does come. And like I said, life changes. Some of the changes that we want and have a control over, but a lot of it is unwanted and unexpected. And then that's when, you're testing, your faith is tested. So saying to always have, to be better prepared mentally, so therefore you can overcome all things when you have that faith and that belief that this too shall pass. So with that, thank you so much for those words. We're going to take a quick commercial, and we'll be right back. Thank you so much.
Welcome to Pamela Palace, where every customer is the royal treatment. You may arrive feeling ordinary, but when you leave, you're guaranteed to feel extraordinary. We take pride and honor in serving you and treating you as the queens and kings that you are at Pamela Palace. So come and purchase beautiful scarves, shades, jewelry, etc. for queens. And for kings, we have wallets, bow ties, and much more. Need a royal experience? Well, contact me at Pamela Palace, PamalaPalace, on Facebook or Instagram, and also PamelaPalace@gmail.com. Thank you so much for your purchases, and please come again. Peace and blessings, family. My name is Pamela Muhammad, and this is the Initiative Radio Network. Our program lineup is as follows. On Sundays at 3 p.m., we have Remnant Peculiar Israelites, hosted by Sister Shamika. On Mondays at 8 p.m., we have Keeping It Live Radio, hosted by Sister Phyllis. On Tuesdays at 8 p.m., we have the Aunt Canary Experience, hosted by Brother Anthony. On Wednesdays at 8 p.m., we have Who Did It To You Roundtable Discussion with yours truly, Pamela Muhammad, Brother Dr. James Jones, and moderated by Brother Maurice Muhammad. On Thursdays at 8 p.m., we have Global Outreach, hosted by Sister Rhonda Michelle. And on Fridays at 9 p.m., we have Just Us Creating Economic Self-Sufficiency, hosted by Brother John. We believe at the Initiative Radio Network that we must create an environment where we can do for self and go to war against anybody who comes against what we decide to build. Trust and believe. We love you, black people, and we are giving our lives to make you free. Truth has come to you.
Okay, thank you, and welcome back to the Initiative Radio Network. This is the Pamela Palace Enlightenment Program. And tonight we have our beautiful regional minister, Southwest regional minister, that is, our student minister, Abdul Halim, formerly known, of course, as Brother Robert, but Let's call him by his holy name, his beautiful name. So with that, we're going to see, do we have any callers that may want to ask our dear beloved brother a question? If you have any questions, comments, or just would like to give our brother some love, push one at this time, and I would gladly bring you right on in. Okay, we do have a caller here. Hello, welcome
Hello,
to the Initiative Radio Network. I'm doing fine, ma'am. How are you?
I am okay. My question was to Minister about the warning. Why wasn't Houston warned in time?
Why wasn't Houston, say that last part again?
Why wasn't they warned in time about the hurricane to leave?
Well, you know, they were warned to one extent, but that's the storm. I'm telling you, sister, if we go back and, you know, hindsight 2020 vision, you go back, that storm literally almost had a mind of its own. It came in, it hit below us. We knew we were going to get some rain. It hit below us. It hit Rockport, Texas, and then it hit Corpus Christi, Texas, and Rockport, Texas. But it didn't go inland. It
uh-huh.
went back out into the Gulf and got some more water. And then said, y'all look thirsty. I'm going to give you some more. So this literally is like not just a missile, but almost like a guided missile. So we had an idea, but they did not know that it would be to that extent. There was no way. See, what we've arrived at, dear sister, is the fact that the people that we have been looking up to in terms of science, government, that have been ruling over us since they brought our foreparents here some 460 plus years ago, they have run out of wisdom. They've run out of wisdom. And now we've got to really rely on our spiritual attribute to lean not to our own understanding or lean even to their understanding. And we've got to prepare for what is unpreparable for, and that's what we have done. We have survived the worst treatment any human beings can, but at the same time, what we've got to do now is turn to each other and start saying, you know what? These people don't know what's going on. I'm going to trust in you, God, and I'm going to trust in my brother and sister who is my neighbor. And that's what we have to do. It's not racist. It just boils down to, I better learn my neighbor and how we can protect and save ourselves and then work with government to the extent that we can. But, yeah, that's part of the reason. They couldn't have prepared for this even if they prepared for it.
Okay.
So, you know, as everybody's put out the hashtag, pray for Houston, pray for Florida. I'm praying for Monroe and Louisiana, wherever you call it from. I'm praying for there, too. Because I have, of course, been in the Nation of Islam. My headquarters is in Chicago. I tell the people in Chicago, when I'm on radio in Chicago, I said, I'm praying for you, because if you get as much snow as we got water, y'all ain't never going to get dig out of that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You are right about that part.
Mm-hmm. So let's keep working together. Let's, you know, let's meet with our churches, our organizations, the local organizing committee, NAACP, Urban League, the pastors, meet with city government, county government, parish government if you're in Louisiana, and let's say, what are we going to do? Let's talk about what we're going to do for the least among us during these emergencies. What's the plan? Ask them, like you're asking me, ask them, what's the plan? We've seen Houston, we've seen Florida, what's the plan? And hold their feet to the fire.
Right about that.
Mm-hmm. And don't be shy, because you and my life depend on it. Don't be shy about it, either. Stick it to them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Did you have any more questions, dear sister?
No, not at this time.
Okay, then. Well, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you so much
You're
for
welcome.
Calling in.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. That's what I'm thinking. Bye-bye. Thank you. All right.
Yes,
this
ma'am.
Is course, yes, sir. Okay, let's see here. Do anyone, would anyone else like to ask our beloved brother a question, because he is going to have to soon go. So if anyone would like to ask a question, like, just give our brother some love. And like he said earlier, we have to, whether we claim Christian, Muslim, Jew, whatever, we're going to put those titles aside and become as one. You don't have to lose what you believe. You know, we're not saying to believe what we believe, but I tell you this, when the enemy comes, he don't give a darn what you believe and what your status is. Are you educated or not educated? And so that we have to learn how to do that too and pull together and love each other regardless of our differences because we have common that is a vibe. And so with that, for those that would like to make a comment, please push one. I will gladly bring you right on in because our dear brother is going to have to go at the top of the hour. So I don't want anyone that I may have been online to not get a chance to ask him a question or make a comment or just simply give him the green sense of love. And so that is a beautiful thing. And I would say love one another while you have the chance because life is not promised. I say this every day among the family as well as on Facebook or wherever I go. You know, take this life and appreciate it. And appreciate those that you love. And also, you know, just give love and be kind to each other because that will come right back to you. And so with that, we're going to be wrapping up and spending one again. Push one if you want to speak because I don't want to keep our brother anymore because I know he's very, very busy. But we are so honored that he took out the time to be with us tonight. And I can't wait to see him. Inshallah, which means God's willing, back in my hometown. So with that, we're going to be wrapping up the show very soon. The first session it is, I'll stay on a bit longer and finish up the second section. So, dear brother, I don't want to keep you. I thank you so, so much for joining us tonight. It's always an honor to have you on, to speak with you, et cetera.
Well, I want to thank you, Sister Pamela, and thank the believers of Monroe, Louisiana, and all those who support your show. I pray Allah continues to bless you and expand your breasts so that you can take in and lead and help more people through your ministry. And I will always be supportive of you. You're an inspiration to me in everything that you do. And I want you to continue to lift up the light and to give it to whomever will receive it. And once again, anyone that would like to help us here in Houston, it's going to be a long process of recovery, anywhere from 6 months, that's minimum, to a year and a half, almost 2 years. So they can continue to support us at nyhouston.org, or they can send anything they want to help us.
Yes, sir.
At Muhammad Miles number 45, 4443 Old Spanish Trail, Houston, Texas, 77021. If they'd like to follow me on Twitter, sister, they can follow me on Twitter. I am dots connector on Twitter. And on Instagram, I'm @_Haleem, @Haleem _ Muhammad, Muhammad. That's @_Haleem, @Haleem _ Muhammad, Muhammad. At Instagram. And that's how you can follow me on social media. So, Sister Pamela, may Allah bless you, your beloved family, the believers in Monroe. Bless this ministry. Bless this radio network that you set up. And y'all keep buying them commercials. I like the little commercial on your radio show. And you keep on keeping on, sister. And don't turn back and don't look back. You keep on straight ahead. All right?
Yes, sir. We had a question for you, but we're going to let you go.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, sister. I got 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. The brother, it's from the chat line, Black God Head. His question is, why are we to look to the city for their plans to save us?
Because you pay taxes. in the wants and beliefs of the Nation of Islam, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad demands in the Muslim wants, said that we want exemption from all taxation.
Mm-hmm.
That's because he says we want the government of the United States to exempt our people from all taxation as long as we're deprived of equal justice under the laws of the land. Well, they continue. We haven't received that exemption, so we continue to be taxed. So as the founding fathers of this nation said, and this being the 230th anniversary of the signing of the Constitution of the United States on September 17th, will be that 230th anniversary. Let me just say it like this. Taxation without representation is tyranny. So as long as you and I are being taxed, we better go and get our resources and demand our resources as long as they're going to take our money. But it really isn't for them to save us. It really is for us to save ourselves. So I agree with the sentiment of the question, but I'm not going to let them off the hook. They still are responsible, because as long as you take my money, you're going to have to provide me a service or a product. And so if they take our money, then we should go to the city, the state, the feds, whomever we can, to receive the resources necessary for ourselves. Remember, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad called for, if we don't get freedom, justice, and equality, which isn't their nature to give it to us, then we demand separation, and we demand that they support us for 20 to 25 years until we're able to go for ourselves. So that money is going to come from them. It's not going to come from ourselves. So we have a right to demand that. We built this country. We built the wealth that's in Louisiana. Our slave labor built that. Our second-class citizenship during the sharecropping days, when cotton was king, in our people chopped that cotton in Louisiana and other places that made America rich. The greatest export of America was not oil. The first and greatest export of America was cotton. And we picked cotton before the Civil War, and we picked cotton after the Civil War. And we have a right to demand of America everything that they got underneath their feet. But in the meantime, let us get together, do for self, and then we go to them once we've organized ourselves and say, this is what we need from you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for answering the brother question. Thank you so much. Inshallah, I can't wait to see you again, brother, whether it's in Monroe or wherever God sees fit. Thank you. Love you. Peace and love to your family. Give your wife the greetings. Though I never met the truth, I know she's special. And with that, thank you so much. May Allah continuously to bless you, Brother Abdul Halim. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. Okay. What a beautiful. I really did enjoy it. I hope everyone else did also. We're going to take a short commercial, and I will be back with the second portion of our program. Thank you.
Dr. James Jones III is a graduate of The Ohio State University. He has earned graduate degrees in African American Studies and History. Dr. Jones has produced the following books: Creating Revolution as They Advance, A Narrative History of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. These writings examine the historical context that facilitated the demise of the Civil Rights Movement's patience and the ascension of a much bolder and less patient mid-60s Black Power politics. Manhood, Race, and Culture, Volumes 1 and 2, contains 66 essays that cover national events that occurred within the African-American community. Oh, Bruni, An African-American Odyssey Home, is an ethnographic study that follows an African-American to Africa, his ancestral homeland. Foolish Floyd, The Life and Times of an African-American, follows an individual who emanates from a rich tradition of contrarians. You can purchase the writings of Dr. Jones at Amazon.com, also available on Kindle. Dr. Jones is also our network resident doctor and can be heard every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Initiative Radio Network. Please visit his website at manhoodraceandculture.com.
Thank you, and welcome back to the Initiative Radio Network. I am Sister Pamela K. Muhammad, and this is Pamela Powers Enlightenment. We just wrapped up the first session with our beloved brother Abdul Halim Muhammad, who is the Southern Southwest Regional Minister in Texas, well, the whole region, but he has the Mars over the Mars in Texas, number 45. With that, we brother, may Allah bless him. He's such a, like I said, a beautiful brother. And I was just delighted to have him on the show. So our second section tonight, I have chosen about 30 minutes or so of the minister. So if anyone don't have any questions, they don't have any comments, then I'm going to play the minister to close the program out. So with that, thank you so much for joining us. We do appreciate you. My life continuously to bless you as well.
Turn back to your father.
Yes, sir.
Are you being restored?
Yes, sir.
Is your soul being restored?
Yes, sir.
Are you being led in the path of righteousness for his name's sake?
Yes, sir.
Yea. Though you walk in the valley of the shadow of death, fear some evil? Has a table been prepared for you and me right in the midst of our enemies? Then who is your shepherd? The Lord is our shepherd. And he's in me guiding you. If you would follow what I asked you to do, you'll be successful. I'm a witness of Jesus. Look at me. Behold the servant of God, in whom his soul delights. He's put his spirit in me, and now he's bringing forth judgment to the Gentiles. Look at what's coming out of my mouth, and look at the effects of my words. Give speeches. Clinton gives speeches. Bush gives speeches. Jesse Jackson gives speeches. But Louis Farrakhan delivers the word of God, and that word transforms human life and brings about total change in people. How about your eyes? Were you seeing before you heard the word? You got sight today. Were you hearing? No, your ears are open. Were you speaking? No, the tongue, the knot in your tongue got loose. Huh? You had a leprous white mind. How you doing today? You walked with a limp. You were paralyzed. Couldn't do nothing for yourself, but the word freed your hands. Who did you meet that saved you from your sins? You met Jesus. He was walking in me. I was blessed to raise you from the dead by Allah's permission. Yeah, you want to see Jesus? Look at your brother. He's in me. Who were the enemies of Jesus? It was the Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Who are my enemies? Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees, look at their writings about me. What sin have I committed that I am hated by white people? Look up at me, damn it. Don't look away. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. You don't have to be afraid. I am a witness of my Father, and I His son. The Jews want me dead. Not all of them. Some of them. The government don't like me. Some of my own black leaders are frightened of me, just like they were with Jesus. They come around my house in the dark like Nicodemus. But they don't want to walk with me in the light because they don't want white people to cut off their favor. But the white man can't cut off my blessing. Why should he cut off yours? If you had faith like I got faith, you wouldn't have to worry about your bread. You're just a group of cowardly people. Faithless people. This beast wants to put me behind bars. They want to bring me before their courts. They may very well do that. I'll go. Like it. But I'll be the winner. Not that I am the winner. God is the winner. And as long as I'm with God and God is with me, there ain't no weapon formed against me or you that will prosper. So you take that gun out your hand. Put it away. And pick up faith. And put on the whole armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation. Helmet is what protects your head. Put on the word. The word of God is a helmet. You don't need no brass helmet like Saul tried to give David. Huh? Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Because when you're righteous, any dart that comes your way has no effect because God is your shield and your buckler. He helps you to create an atmosphere that burns up foreign obstacles, objects that come in your atmosphere, like it is with the earth. Shod your feet with the shoes of the gospel. What is the gospel? Good news. You scared to tell the people good news that God has come and chosen the foolish things of the world? He come to be our God and choose us to be his people? You afraid to say that? You don't want to openly confess God who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, a real live man? That's the gospel. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you can't walk with me if you got the idea of harm and murder in your heart for your people. You're not me. You have no right to kill no one that Allah has not ordered to be killed. We are so filled with a self-righteous hypocrisy that if we were judged like we tend to judge others, maybe many of us would be pushing up dead. when you go among your people calling yourself a god. Call yourself a god and guard yourself against indecency and evil. You go out among the people and slip in and have sex with their little girlfriends. You take the good looks that God gives you. He cleaned you up from your wicked and funky expression. Now your eyes shine in this, shine in your skin, and you look better than your brothers who have not come to faith like you. Naturally, the young ladies will want you. You haven't got no strength. You slipping in and slipping out, committing fornication and adultery, and call yourself a Muslim. The people are looking at you, and they're saying these are some phony niggas. And what are you doing? You're bringing on yourself the wrath of the people because you are not righteous. You're perpetrating a fraud. You among the savagery of our people, they have guns. So you feel that God is insufficient for you, you gotta have a gun. The moment you pick up a gun, you invite that response to you. Elijah Muhammad never taught no such thing. Take the gun out of your hand. Put it out of your homes. Get it away from your children. And go armed with the righteousness of God. Do you know who these people are in these projects on the west side? They're the people of God, brother. Crazy as they may seem, that's God's people. And if you go to them in the right spirit, not with no self-righteous hypocrisy and arrogance, like you think you are better than they are, when yesterday you were doing the same damn thing that they do in the day, don't you remember what God brought you from? They called us punks. That's what they called us. So what? If it moves you, maybe you are a punk. You can call me a punk all day long. It ain't gonna bother me because I know who I am. And I know soon they're gonna find out. White man ain't afraid of punk. He's afraid of truth and men of God who got the courage to tell it. They're not afraid of you and your gun. They're afraid of me and the word of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They shut me out of London. Wouldn't even let the signal come down. Why? Who is Farrakhan? Is it the way I part my hair? Hell no. It's the word, man. The word that carries the vision and the idea of God that is closing down their world. You don't need no gun. You just need to arm yourself with faith in your God. Take up and put on the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit. What is the Spirit of God? It is the energy of His life, and it is His love for His people. He came 9,000 miles to get us. He loves us. Do you love the people that God came to redeem? If you love them, why can't you suffer an insult? Why must you retaliate for an insult? I've been insulted for 40 years. And those that curse me, I bless them. You didn't hear me? See, y'all talk about Jesus, but you scared to live Jesus' life. I know that his life is the only life that will redeem our people. You got to be able to take a lot to save our people.
Thank you. We'll be just listening to a clip from our beautiful, beloved minister. I mean, every time I hear our brother give the wisdom of a lie, it just lights me up. I love it. He is so real. And as he was saying, we all must strive to be a righteousness, to be covered, to be loved, to have mercy from our dear, beloved God. And that's just the truth of it. So we all must strive and keep striving to work, and also to not belittle our people that may not know better, but to strive to help them, to teach them, to help civilize them, and in the process, definitely civilizing ourselves. So that is a word that was good for me to hear, even though I've heard it a couple of times. But nevertheless, it doesn't get old at all. For those that are online, if you would like to make a comment on what you heard from our beloved minister, then you can push one and we'll discuss it. If not, then I continue to play some more clips from our beloved minister, because I'm definitely enjoying him. Earlier, we had our beloved minister from the Southwest West minister, regional minister, that is Brother Abdul Halim, who was such a beautiful spirit, but he cannot stay the entire time of the program, which, you know, we understand that. But nevertheless, it was beautiful. So I will continuously to play some more of our beloved minister, Farrakhan. If anyone don't have any questions, comments, etc., then that's fine too. Thank you all for still being online and joining us. We do appreciate it.
But I went to the back because I didn't know where my position was with him. But when he heard my voice, he said, come on down and have a seat in the front. Go ahead. And some of the ministers made a space, Lewis, where you sitting? And they let me sit there. And when he looked over and saw me there, he said, he pointed to his seat. See, that's the way David anointed Solomon. He made Solomon to sit in his seat. But the moment he sat there, there were people that didn't want brother to be in such a position. I sat in that seat, I could almost feel the eyes of the other ministers on the back of my head like daggers. I was very uncomfortable in the seat. So the next week when I came out, I went right back to the front where you sitting. I wasn't going to take his seat for granted. But then he called me out where my son is standing. Then he said, wherever he bids you to go, you go. Wherever he tells you stay from, stay from. He will get you across the river.
on his shoulders. And when he gets you safely across, he won't say, look what I have done. He'll say, look what Allah has done, for he's a very humble brother. He's one of my finest preachers in the pounds of North America. So I want you to continue to hear my minister, Farrakhan. The reason the nation fell is because we worship what we saw and didn't have deep enough faith in the unseen, the God that backed Elijah. We fell apart because, in a sense, we were polytheistic. We worshiped Elijah Muhammad. So when they said he was dead, we got lost. When Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, expired, Umar was very fiery and grabbed his sword. Anybody that says that the Prophet has died, I'll run him through. But Abu Bakr looked at him, paid him no attention, and went straight to the mosque where the believers were waiting. And he said, those of you who worship Muhammad, know that Muhammad is dead. Those of you who worship Allah, know that Allah is the ever-living. Then he quoted from the Quran, Muhammad is but a messenger. Indeed, messengers have passed away before him. If he is killed or he dies, will you turn back on your heels? See? Some of you now are looking at Farrakhan with the same silly eyes, not of following or trying to understand, but a worship kind of thing. I never asked you to call me the honorable. I didn't ask for no title. I had one. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And the more I said, no, I'm honorable, but that's not me, that's him. So after you made me the honorable, you had to make him the most honorable. And here comes Satan again, you know. Dear apostle, holy apostle, well, hey, wait. Don't put that on me. I'm not holy. Holy means that which has not been mixed or tampered with in any form and is without spot or blemish. That ain't me. But the God who backs me, he's holy. So I took the subject of belief
in the unseen is the real power of faith, because Christians worship Jesus rather than worshiping the Father, and therefore their power has been limited. They don't follow Jesus. They praise him, praise him, praise him, but they're not Christ-like in their conduct. We're the same. Muslims all over the world are the same. I mean, there's some beautiful Muslims. They're serious and sincere about their faith, and they want to live the life of the Quran and the life exemplified by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. These are good people. But there are others who will pay zakat, charity, who are diligent about their five prayers, who will fast during the month of Ramadan, and they're ready to engage in jihad against the unbeliever, not really recognizing that the real fight is the unbelief of self. And so, my family, suppose I go. Suppose I die. Has all the work that we've been doing gone for naught? Would you turn back on your heels?
No, sir.
You worship me?
No, sir.
Or do you worship God?
Yes, sir.
And if you worship God, the unseen, where the real power is, then even if I go, the power remains. It will never leave you if you don't leave it. Thank you for listening, and may Allah bless you as I greet you in peace. As-salamu alaykum. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. All praise is due to Allah.
Thank you. Again, for tuning in, that was our beloved minister. Again, I thank Allah, I thank Allah, I thank Allah for the teachings, of course, for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ, and our beloved minister. I mean, I can't thank him enough, because he definitely has given me life personally, and I know so many others. So tonight, we want to thank him. That was earlier part of our portion of our program. We had our dear brother, Brother Abdul Halim Muhammad, who is the Southwest Regional Minister of God. He couldn't stay the whole 2 hours, but nevertheless, I was very honored and pleased that he had taken out the time to be with us. Beautiful brother. May Allah continuously to bless him in all his work of good and endeavors. And for those that may have been tuning in to hear him, I do apologize that he wasn't able to stay, but hopefully you will come back to support our initiative radio network. And so with that, I'm going to close the show up in the name of Allah. I thank him so much, and I thank those who listened. May Allah continue to bless each and every one of you. And with that, this is Sister Pamela K. Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum. Good night.